Are you ready to hear the word? Without a doubt, undoubtedly, we would all answer and say that Christianity is not a religion, but it's a... Oh yeah, very good. You got that. Remember, it's a relationship. In fact, we would go and venture even to go as far as to say it's a what? Personal relationship. But the name of entitled of tonight's message is Let's Get Personal. Because it's something we talk about, it's something we drill ourselves in. But I wonder after we say and we're telling people, oh, it's not a, you know, Buddhism, you know, it's works oriented. Muslim, it's works oriented. But Christianity, it's a relationship. But I wonder if God sometimes sits in heaven and looks at Jesus and says, you know, when he says personal relationship, and I wonder if God has he been personal with you? Have you had a relationship with him? And I want tonight's message is good. I just want it to burn in our hearts about stirring us up that God wants to be with us. God wants to talk with us. I remember I used to walk throughout the halls. I used to be in the medical field for 12 or 13 years. But I remember just always, you know, that place where you're always communing with God. And I remember walking down the halls of and just fellowshipping with the Lord. Just he walks with me. And he talks with me. God, if you have anything to say, and you speak it, Lord. I'm your servant is listening. And where you just have this vibrant, ongoing relationship with the Lord. In fact, it was God's idea. It was God's idea for us to experience him in relationship. It wasn't to be this dead, mundane thing. Sometimes you talk with Christians, and gosh, guys, it's like, well, I'm going to go read the word. It's almost like, pray for me, I'm going to go pray. Oh, I'm going to go be with the Lord. Pray I endure till the end. And it's like, dear Lord, it's so much more than that. It is a vibrant thing. It takes man to just totally make it dead to what God has designed us to be vibrant and life-giving and resuscitating in our life. Listen to this. This is Hebrews chapter 8. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version and the Message Bible. They kind of highlight and amplify some things that I want to draw attention to. But listen to this. This is Hebrew. Here's what God thinks about and his design for our relationship with him. It says, verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 8, it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their minds, even upon the innermost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now listen to this. Verse 11. "And it will never more be necessary for each one to teach his neighbor and his fellow citizens, or each one his brother, saying, know, perceive, have knowledge of, and get acquainted by experience with the Lord. For all will know me." Say, for all will know me. From the smallest to the greatest. Now, I do want to draw attention. It says that, it says for each one of his brothers saying, know, perceive, and have knowledge of, and get acquainted by experience. Isn't that interesting? God wants us to get acquainted with him by, say, experience. God wants us to encounter him. Every time we should come together, we should have such anticipation in our hearts. God, what do you want to say? As it is, sometimes we get together with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I just so thankful to be here. It's been a long day. And then you're out. And God never intended us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to experience him. Amen? Now listen. I wrote this down. One of the most fulfilling privileges and greatest joys I've ever embarked on in my life is getting to know my King. He's so much more than I could ever ask or imagine. Listen to this. Here's what Paul, the apostle, says this. He says, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God," and get this, "the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Notice, communion of the Holy Spirit. You know, communion means, it says intimate fellowship. Paul prayed, he says, that you would have intimate fellowship, that you would begin to understand and hear what the Lord has to say. We just saw that the Lord himself, he says, he wants us to experience him intimately. Amen? Listen to this. This is what, now, this is really cool. This is what the Apostle John has to say about this relationship. 1 John 1, verse 3 through 4 in the Message Bible, it says, we saw it and we heard it. And now we're telling you so you can experience, say experience. He says, we're telling you so you can experience along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Experience the communion. Doesn't you hear something from what God says? God wants us to experience. We see that Paul talks about that we would know the communion. That is intimate fellowship with the Father. And we call this self, this walk with God, a personal relationship with the Lord. You know, I think about my kids. I you know, some of you, I hope this would be your heart as a father, because I feel it's the heart of a father. I don't like to be away from my kids. I love being with my kids. I don't see my kids as a burden. That doesn't mean they're always perfect and all of that and stuff. And it doesn't mean I don't want my space so every now and then. But I can't wait to get home. I can't wait. I go home, and the first thing I do, we're always playing a game. I mean, they're hide and go seek, you know. They're hiding behind the door, and you know, you act surprised when you see them. It's like, oh, you scared me so bad, baby. Why did you scare daddy? And you're just waiting to interact. I pray we get this picture that God longs to interact with us. It's not like, oh, you again. He wants to interact. In fact, you know, years ago, back in the 90s, there was a great author. His name was Tommy Tenney. Anybody ever read any of Tommy Tenney's books? But he wrote the book God Catcher. And he makes note in the book that he says he loves seeing his kids. And it just, when I was reading the book years ago, I just love the illustration. He says, you know, when you play hide and go seek with your kids, the intent is to be found. You know, when my kids were, you know, 2 and 5, you know what? I could have thought real macho of myself, you know. It's like, they ain't going to find me today. I could hide myself in the closet. They're 2 and 5. I can hide my, they'll never find me in this place. Yes. And then after, you know, 5, 10 minutes, I'm all proud of myself. That would be really pathetic, wouldn't it? And I could be saying, those kids are pathetic. They haven't even found me. Yeah. And really, that's not it at all. The whole secret of playing hide-and-go-seek with daddy is to be found. And so you're always careful to leave a shoe showing. Or you always be careful to breathe a little bit extra. Or you happen to have a cough when they're coming. Why? Because the fellowship. You want to be found. You want to be found. Listen to this. Guys, I'm jumping to Jeremiah 29:11. We know this. But it says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not for evil. To give you a future and a... Okay, we know that part. Listen, it says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. Now listen to this. I will listen to you. If God's listening, He wants us to call. He wants us to. Now listen to this. Verse 13, it says, and you will seek me and find, get this, find me. If God is to be found, there has to be something going on our end. And what is it? Seeking. Seeking. Taking time, God. And you know, I know in the rustle and bustle of the day, in the business of the day, you do not feel spiritual sometimes. As a pastor, you don't feel real spiritual sometimes. But you know, you got to take, there's no shortcuts. You have to take time to be with God. And if your schedule is just so crazy, crazy busy, you know what? You will have to almost set it in your calendar. Blocks of time. 5:30 to 6:30. This is God's time. Nothing's going to interrupt it. Amen. I mean, you got to set time aside. But if you take this time to seek the Lord, Here's the good thing. He wants to be found, guys. Seeking God. Sometimes we have the wrong perception about, you know, when I was young, you know, the church I was being brought up in, and sometimes the, you know, the guitar was out of tune. And if it had six strings, sometimes it didn't. And they'd be singing, "Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord." You know, come by here. But actually, I think the reverse of the song is being sung in heaven. Because he wants to be found. I bet he's singing up there. Come by here. Come up here, my child. Come up here. Come and seek me. If we seek him, he will be found. Amen. He will be found. Listen to what Paul prayed. So we see John wants us, he's talked about being experiencing God. We see that God wants us to experience. He wants us to encounter him. Can we say every time we set time aside with the Lord, you have an encounter? Is there that drive and fervency on the inside of us to pursue him? Can we say that? Listen to what Paul prayed. So Paul asked, he says, may we know, he didn't ask, he says, may we know, get this, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what Paul prayed. Ephesians 1, verse 18 and 19. He's praying for us, and he says, I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, get this, to make you intelligent and discerning, get this, in knowing him personally. He asked God. He's got, make them wise and discerning in knowing him. Could you say you know him? It says, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of his glorious way of the life he has for his followers. But notice, he prayed that God would make us intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Again, Jeremiah 29, it says, again, I just said it, if you seek me, you'll find me. That goes along with James 4:8. James 4:8 says this, and we've heard it. You can quote it with me. It says, draw near to God and what? Did you know it's like a mirror? God, it's almost like God is mirroring us. You know, if you go, it's not on my notes, but Proverbs 18, I believe it's verse 25, it says, to the upright you show yourself upright, to the pure you show yourself pure, to the blameless you show yourself blameless. Did you know he's responding to us? He's responding to us. So when you draw near, what's he doing? Drawing near. But if we retract, he retracts. Basically, God is looking at us and saying, it's your move. It's your move. Not, Lord, come here. If you want to bless me, come. It's like some things in God, if you want to get it, you know what? You got to go after it. You got to go after him. We got to be God chasers. Amen. So draw near to God. He will draw near to you. God didn't play, he didn't shed his blood, go to Calvary's cross, suffer excruciating pain so we can remain strangers. And know him from afar. Did you know God doesn't want to know any of us from afar? So I don't know. I don't know where everybody's at. I know we're all at different places. But could we say God is an intimate? Is he an intimate friend? Or is he an acquaintance? Where you have an occasional visit here and there. Because I talk to people, guys. I've talked to them and said, oh, I haven't read my Bible, Pastor. I think I read it Friday. What? And it's already Thursday. And it's been 6 days. And Jesus said, he says, the word is our food. It's our food. What if you went 5 days without food? Amen? Listen, we can go from an acquaintance to an intimate. And here's how. You spend time. But there was a time, me and my wife, we sang together probably 4 years. Was it that long? 3 or 4 years before we even started to date. She was married. I just found that out. No, I'm just kidding. She was married, but her last husband had too many girlfriends, had a scriptural reason. That ended. I was dating somebody, and that relationship came to an end. And we were singing. We'd get asked to sing on TV. We'd get asked to sing at conferences. We'd get asked to sing at banquets. We were singing at church. So we were always, always singing together. But you know what? Truthfully, we sang together, but we were acquaintances. I knew she was married. I never crossed over that. Truthfully, I wasn't even attracted to her. And she always, you know, liked guys that were about that tall and about that wide. And so we really, in the natural, we just really didn't look at each other that way, you know? And when she went through her divorce, and I ended it with my girlfriend, it had been about, I don't know, 8 months to a year, but we were talking business. We were talking babe. I didn't call her babe back then, but I would tell her, we need to have rehearsal. Can you come and rehearse? And I need you to learn this song. And that was the extent of our relationship. But after about 8 months, we recognized that we were actually talking a lot on the phone. I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Then we went out to a nearby city and ministered at a church. And one of the pastors I was with, he big, tall, black guy, and great guy. He's the one that married me and my wife. He says, I don't like to be no matchmaker or nothing, but you know, Dion ain't seen nobody no more. And have you ever thought about her? And I said, well, at that time we had been talking a lot. I was like, well, okay. Well, maybe. So I got bold, and it was around Christmas time, and I noticed it was kind of fun talking to her on the phone. This acquaintance was moving a little bit forward. It was kind of scary because we sang so much, and it's like, she's my best sing partner. I mean, she's my best singer, my harmonizer, and everything. It's like, man, if we screw this up, man, this is over. I won't have nobody to sing with me, nobody to lead up my vocalist. So I was like, man, so we, I thought about it. I said, we went shopping for Christmas. So I says, you wanna go shopping. I probably was stuttering at the time too, because it's like, it was really awkward. It was very awkward because I'd never seen her that way. And so we went shopping, she saw a shirt I was wearing and showed me some clothes, and we were just hanging out. We went out to eat, and before we went out to eat, I just kind of randomly said this, you know, after you've had your heart broken a lot, you just don't want to waste time in relationships. Anybody know what I mean? You don't want to go through the work of developing a relationship. Because it's like, if this wasn't God, it's like, let's make this over. Let's just. So I just ran. First night we were together. Have you ever thought, like, maybe us a little bit more? She always says no, but she said yes. And she said, so we began to hang out. And by hanging out, guys, the chemistry, I started seeing she liked things that I liked, the things, the commonalities of the thing. We liked the same food. We had the same taste in clothes. We liked the same, just same music, and we had a core of the same friends, and just our temperaments. There was so much chemistry, and you know, I just like started looking at her differently, and I'm like, I remember one night I think it was New Year's, and I was looking at her. And I'm like, oh my God. It's like my eyes were open. And I'm like, she was the hottest thing I had ever. I saw her, I was like, you once, twice, three times a lady. I love. No, I didn't do that. I really did. I didn't have a piano there. But you know what? I said all that to say this. That's how you get to know the Holy Ghost. That's how you get to know the Lord. You spend time. You begin to interact. You begin to see His likes. You get to see what He hates. And what happens, your heart gets exposed to his heart. And the Bible says, actually, in I don't have it on my scripture, it's just kind of coming to me. 2 Corinthians 3:16, where it says, as we behold him, we're changed. As you begin to spend time with God, it changes you. And, I mean, two things could happen. He could change you, or it could be you. And so you begin to spend time with God. You don't have to wrestle with it and like trying, I got to be more like Jesus. You just begin to spend time worshiping him. And he begins to tenderize your heart. And he begins to transform you right before your eyes. Four things to cultivate an intimate friendship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Four things. So I'm going to talk to you. That was my intro. I like that. You once, twice. Four things to cultivate an intimate friendship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Number one, keeping his word. Keeping his word. Notice, John 14:21 says this, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Now listen to this. And I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. Listen, manifest. Did we not read earlier that God wants us to experience and encounter him? Just by loving the Lord and keeping his commandment, showing our love for him. You know, John Bevere said, when you're love, he said it like this. Sometimes we put it on, when you keep my commandments, you love me. You prove me, you love me. But actually, he kind of made it relational. I love the way he quoted it. He says, when you're loving me, you keep my commandments. It's just like that relationship. You know, husband and wife duties. You have duties around the house. You know, wife, you may be doing the clothes and mopping the floor. And men do the laundry. Not the laundry, but men, you know, men. The men exercise the remote. You know, you got to get that thumbless. No. But men's job is to maybe do the trash and maybe the lawn. And that thing. Federico. That's when you hire Federico. You don't have to do the lawn. Hallelujah. But listen, we don't do these jobs because the law says, you cook dinner. You fold the clothes. You do the laundry. I do the trash. I do the lawn. I mean, it's because it's such a relationship. When we're loving each other, we just put in. We put in. It's not a chore. It's just the responsibility of the relationship. So right here, when you see, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. But I like what John Bevere says. When you're loving me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. We got to esteem his word. His word, you know, sometimes we look at when keeping the word, sometimes we see the word so often as, get this, as a suggestion. You hear something from the word, you see it as if it's optional. We treat it like a buffet. You know, you go to a buffet, I like that, but I want a little. No, it's all good. Everything in the word of God is good. And that's why Jeremiah says, the word was found and I did eat them. Amen. This is interesting. This just kind of came to me. Proverbs 28:9. I don't know if I had that on my notes I gave them. But anyways, get this. One who turns away an ear from hearing my law. Get this. He who turns his ear from hearing my law. Get this. Even his prayer is an abomination. Wow. You know, have you heard people? I don't read the word, but I pray. I don't know what the word of God says, but I pray. One who turns away his ear from what? Hearing the law? Even his prayer is an abomination. So number one, in cultivating an intimate relationship, keeping his word. Number two, come and be with him. Mark 3:13-15. And he, Jesus, went up to the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. Notice, Jesus went on the mountain to pray. Notice, number one, they came to him. We found earlier, God wants to be found, doesn't he? They came. The Bible says, Jesus said in many places, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, it says, come, come, come. Look at your neighbor and say, come. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. We got to come. Notice, he gave them an invite. They came. Now listen to this. This is exciting. This excites people. 9 times out of 10, it says, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. And get this. And that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. What did Jesus appoint 12 to do? What did he appoint 12 to have power and what? To heal sickness and to cast out. Right? Is that correct? 9 times out of 10. Let's go back and read it. Go back to verse 14. He appointed 12. Ready? Verse 12. Oh, I'm sorry. 14. I said 12. Verse 14. Then he appointed 12. There we go. He appointed 12. And look. That they what? Might be with him. They came and he appointed 12 that they might be with him. Did you know before God's going to call you to any great worldwide ministry, missionary work, volunteer work, the qualifier, the preparation is the ability to be with him. Sometimes as ministers, we think being with him is ministry. And God just wants us to be with him exclusively. Or it says they came to be with him. You know, it's interesting. Something as a parent, and some of you who have kids have found this out. When you haven't seen your kids and you just want to fellowship with them and play and tackle them and play hide and go seek and the whole gamut. And they come up to you, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I was just on the computer. There's this new bat I want. Or, Daddy, 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 I found this new doll. They haven't said hello. They haven't hugged me. They haven't high-fived me. And they're bringing a request. Anybody have kids like that, or is that just mine? They come, and it's I want, and I desire, and I need. And you know what? If we just understand the heart of God, is he wants us to what? Be with him. Just be with him. And in doing so, we begin to encounter him. Amen? Amen. You know, just a good example. I don't think this is on the overhead, but it says, Jesus' example. Get this. It says that Jesus often withdrew himself into the wilderness to pray. He knew the value. He knew the desire. That was his longing. That was his longing. Ministry was the overflow of him being with the Father. It says he often withdrew. Could that be said? Could that be true of you? Often withdrew. Now listen, to often withdraw means there has to be a reprioritization of some things in our lives. Amen? Amen? Which leads me into my next point. You got to recognize your moment. Recognize your moment. If you're going to cultivate an intimate friendship with the Lord, you got to recognize your moment. What do I mean by this? You can turn to your Bibles, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. We've heard this. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister, Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, was distracted. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I wonder what that looked like. Can you just see, possibly, you know, You're sitting at the feet of your Savior. He's speaking forth the words of life. Could you imagine they're just having such an intimate time? Maybe tears running down her face. She's just having a moment in the Lord. He's teaching about love and forgiveness and how God is going to give us a new heart. And they're just having a moment. They're having a moment. Jesus! I mean, did she just interrupt the moment? Don't. What about me? Don't you care that I am making this place ready, spot cleaned for you? And don't you care? And you're sitting here having, you know, a soap opera of a time over here? I mean, come on. What did it look like? Don't you care? And it says, let me keep reading. And Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Say that. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen. Notice it's a choice. It's a choice. That good part. Now here it is. Which will not be taken away from her. Now notice, Martha was distracted. She was concerned. How many of us can say we're distracted? You got Jesus in the house. He's speaking the words of life. Healing the brokenhearted, you know. And you're distracted. You're missing the moment. Because you're concerned about things that don't matter. Because the Bible says the things which are seen are only temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. She was distracted with much serving. She got legalistic, thought her sister ought to join her. Now when you get real, you can also gather that Martha was probably, what do you say, she was a little performance oriented. She was there, I think in her mentality she was thinking, God, Jesus would really be impressed with my house. And I think that's possibly what she's thinking. She's real performance oriented. And how often do we get performance oriented? And how we perform. And who's seeing it. And what they think. And do you think they'll invite me? And do you think, you know, they'll tell everybody how clean my house is? And get so distracted with things that don't even matter. Guys, some of the things that we're busy about doing. And it's buying up time. And you can never buy back time. And it's just taking time. And Jesus tells Martha. Now, he tells her, and I believe he reveals what's in her heart. Martha, Martha, you are worried. It's another trait of being too busy and distracted. You get performance oriented. You're worried. And get this, now you're troubled. About many things. And Jesus corrects her, verse 42, but one thing. Say it again. But one thing is needed. May we be found having the one thing that God wants. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean we just sit and do nothing all the time. But there is a time when you have a moment with God that we're taking the time to hear His voice. Because I found out when you take the time to hear His voice and you know He has absolutely sealed something that you ought to be doing. You go gangbusters. You work hard. It doesn't matter how hard and how laborious it is and how much time it takes because you've been at His feet. You're energized. You're focused and you know that you're doing something that He has said to do. How often are we doing stuff that I think He's up in heaven. What are they doing now? What are they entangled with now? And you know what? To get entangled is a thief, guys. To take time. To be with the Savior. Amen? Number four. Four things to cultivate an intimate friendship with the Lord. Number four. Count everything as loss. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. But whatever former things, this is from the Amplified Version, but whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as loss for Christ's sake. Listen, what are things that are gains? You can interpret it, things that were important to you. things that you prioritized in your life other than the things. He says, whatever was gain, he says, I have counted as loss. And as counted as loss, who did he gain? Christ. So the things that you held so dear, I'm not talking about neglecting responsibilities, things that we're called to do as work and our job and that whole thing. But there's things that don't have to do with anything. And it's eating up our time. How about our energy, our thoughts? You know what I mean? It's just distracting, as in Martha's case. It says, whatever was gain. How about this? Education. It could be your education. You stood behind your education, your accomplishments, what you belong to, what club, and everything else. He says, I've counted whatever was gain to me. He says, I have what? Counted as loss. I've considered as loss for Christ's sake. Get this. Yes, furthermore, verse 8, I count everything. So not just the things that were gained, but now it's counting, considering everything. It says, I consider everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of the progressively becoming more deeply, deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. To get deeply and acquainted with Him, we have to count some things as loss for the sake of gaining Him. There's just some things that are in the way. Like what? Bad relationships. Like what? Maybe your cars. Maybe your boats. Maybe all your outdoor hobbies that you spend every weekend doing. I'm not saying any of that's wrong. But when you haven't read your Bible for the last 3 months, and you're wondering why I don't feel God, I feel like He's far from you, because He is. He hasn't left you, but He's here. Here's God, but here's what we do. We retract with all of our distraction and the things we held so dear and so important and give our time to and all of our effort and all of... You see what I'm saying? Who moved? We come back and the things that were once valuable depreciate. Because it's like, don't take me from my Jesus. Pastor Luke was talking how he esteemed snowboarding. And as he was talking about that Wednesday night, I tried everything. I tried triathlons. But I was a Christian, but I tried triathlons. And then I got into golf, and I started playing good golf. And then God wasn't delighted with that. And then I tried playing all these softball tournaments and all this stuff that was every weekend. And then, you know, how many know what I'm saying? You just get busy with everything in the world. And you wonder why you haven't gained more of Christ in your life. We can't have everything else take precedence. And God is just a side thought. Amen? Amen. Count everything as loss. Count everything as loss. You know why? And it's my last scripture right here. You ready for this? This is in the message. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Look at the one next to you and say, this is for you. And say, me too. James 4, verse 4. This is in the Message Bible. It says, you're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it like this. He's fiercely a jealous lover. He wants you. He wants every one of us. He wants our time. He wants our focus. He wants our energy. And in doing so, you know, we find life. You find enjoyment. You find purpose. You find meaning. You find your reason for life. But it's a reprioritization, because you know why? He's a fiercely jealous lover. He's jealous over you. You know, you might think jealousy. Jealousy isn't. No, there's a godly jealousy, because you're his possession. You know what? My wife and I love her. But you know what? You mess with my wife, you touch the apple of my eye. You flirt with my wife. I don't care how big you are, I'll bite your ankles. Why? A jealous lover. Because I'm in covenant. We're in relation. We belong to each other. And I'm telling you, God is jealous over your life. Don't wonder why certain things don't come into your life, because some of us have prayed for things in our life that would come and it would kill you and take you out because you're not ready for it. It would become your lover, not him. You think he's going to give it to you? Amen? Four things that cultivate a personal relationship with God. You can keep going on and 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 on with this one. I love talking about intimacy with God, because he's the one I want to be with. It's not difficult to get up at night. When you start seeing the call of God that's resting upon your life and the responsibility he's delegated to us as Christians. And when you wake up at night and you have your potty breaks or whatever, and you get up and go pray. That's not laborious to me. Sometimes we're like dread. It's like, no, we approach our whole quiet time in a whole new fashion. It's like, I get to be with the Lord. I don't have to. I get to be with my, because you know he has something to say. He's going to speak something eternal, something significant, something that's going to revolution my life, or somebody, it's going to prepare me for what's ahead, because I can't afford to be blindsided by things in life. So I got to be with him. Yeah. Yes. Amen. And every single one of us, start prioritizing God. Amen? And some of you have busy life. I understand busy lives. But you can carry a testament. Golly, you can carry a whole Bible on your phone these days. Everybody has potty breaks. Hallelujah. I worked in the medical field. I mean, every time I'd walk in between, I'd get on an elevator. I'd just get a scripture. Just read one scripture. You know how many times God spoke to me? Just having my testament in there. I mean, there's things we can purposefully do to draw near to God, and he will in turn what? Draw near to us. We can, I mean, in the elevator, you can listen. Because you know why? You have to have your time with God, because God has not designed Christian TV and Christian radio to feed you. That could entertain you, but your meat comes because you're alone with him. You're caught away with him. You take time to go and be with the one who loves you and the one whom you love. Amen. Come on, did you get anything out of tonight? Hallelujah. Four things that cultivate a personal relationship with the Lord. Keep his word. And he promises he will manifest. You know that word manifest is to make himself known. Amen. Come to be with him. Recognize your moment and consider everything as loss. Isn't it good to come to hear the word of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.